Okay, we're good. Guys, we're good. Let's go. Let's get this show underway because we already lost freaking 3 viewers already. And I hope
All
they
right.
come back. If you guys know who was here, get them back in the chat. Tell them we're back up. Please. Please.
All right.
All right. So.
Start her up.
Go ahead, James. Start with what you want to start with the planes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, as we were saying, it's a conclusion. You know, it's a fact now. We know that there were no planes used, and there've always been no planers. But there's always a case of, you know, so it's okay if you're a no planer for Pentagon and Shanksville, but you know, you couldn't be for the World Trade Center, which never made much sense to me. You know, we know, and it's accumulation of a lot of different facts. It's not just slowing down the videos, and you know, as some people say, oh, well, you know, perhaps the plane was going faster than the video was going, but it's not just that. It's the fact that the trajectories are wrong in the different videos. That you know, some videos show the plane diving in, other videos show it coming in on a horizontal angle. We got some good videos on the blog page. I don't know if we can get those up.
Yeah, we can definitely get those up. Let me get the link to everybody. I do apologize, everybody, for being a little delayed. We had a little audio issue that usually doesn't ever happen. If you guys, if you just click the link that's right next to the one that is the Dose of Reality radio show is where you're hearing us, just click the page right next to it, the 9/11 hoax uncovered. And there's a bunch of pictures and videos that we're actually going to start going through right now. James is going to start talking about some of the plane stuff. I'm going to talk about some of the other stuff. We're all going to kind of give our input on different areas and kind of go back and forth. And, I mean, give everybody a second to click over, guys, if you're still on the other page. Obviously, you need to have the radio player open. But if you're still on the chat page, click on the 9/11, the hoax uncovered page. And if you want, I'll throw the link in the chat in case you don't see it. That's right, Disinfo. It'll all be archived, and we'll all cut out all that crap at the beginning, so don't worry. I just feel bad because I know we had new listeners tonight. I even think I had a couple that I talked over from a couple other sites, and I feel like they probably left now. But there you go, James. The blogs is up now, and the images of the planes are there. So get into what you want to get into.
Yeah, I mean, we have several videos, obviously. I mean, I don't know exactly what the total is of people that supposedly caught this.
I think it's 47.
I think it's about, yeah, between 40 and 50. I mean, not most of them come out around about the time, but some of them surface later on. You know, I don't know if that includes the people who didn't actually catch the plane, but just caught the aftermath, or because there's a lot of cutting and zooming that sort of goes on in the footage. But basically what we notice in all the videos is that when you slow them down, you know, the plane sort of appears to disappear into the building and it stays totally intact the whole way. It doesn't leave a hole, you know, it literally just disappears into it. And it's something you see in all of the videos. And you know, some people could say that, well, you know, perhaps the video is going faster than, or the plane's going faster than what the video can catch. But if that were true, in all of the different videos, you would see, you know, a different stage. In some videos, you would see a bit of a hole. In other videos, you would see another bit of a hole. You never see any hole from this plane in any different video shot with different cameras. It just totally disappears in. And if you know, we've got pictures there in the video. If you slow them down, the plane is halfway into the building and there's no hole. And that's just not really possible. Yeah, and
no, it's not possible at all. I mean, just look at the first couple images that we have that I put above the videos. One of them, I know I circled the plane in red. I mean, you got the plane is just absolutely melted into the side of the building. I mean, how does that even happen without pieces falling off? Without the building's not even broken. Then you have these other ridiculous shots, like the nose out shot. I mean, which one is it? You know? How can it be so many different things going on at once?
Yeah, and as well, one of the videos in particular, it's shot from behind a fence. And it's not a great frame rate, but if you actually slow the video down, you can catch the plane that's literally about three quarters in, wings and all, and there's no semblance of a hole. It's more dramatic in some videos than others, but but the funny thing is they'll capture the flash, the supposed flash. So the camera's been going that slowly to capture the flash or whatever it was, and yet not going fast enough to capture a hole being made. The most famous view of it, the CNN shot from behind, it's not as pronounced, but in some of the other videos, it's almost as bad as the plane is virtually all but in but the tail, and there's still no hole. And it's just ridiculous. It's not even well done.
Why do you think it wasn't done so well? Do you think it was purposely not done well, or just because they didn't hire the right team to do it?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of three things. One, I don't think they ever thought that people would seriously look at it. Or they added enough other things in, like the pods and flashes and things like that, to direct your attention away from it. The other is probably they didn't hire people that good. And I think three is probably, I think maybe they just bit off a bit more than they can chew, and maybe they just ran out of time. You know, maybe the event was brought forward or something. I mean, it's only, you can only speculate to that point, but what's interesting is not only is it that the plane goes in with no hole being made, but we have, at least in the case of the plane that supposedly hit the South Tower, we have an engine, piece of landing gear and a rotated disc that would, the video shows on the street, it would have had to have passed through the other side of the building. And in the shots taken of the building, there's not three holes in the other side of the building for that stuff to have come out from. And this is something that we're going to get into. Not a lot of people actually know that there was an engine found on the street, well, that's what they say. There are some videos and pictures of this engine sitting in the street, which creates all sorts of problems with continuity. Because one of the arguments that people put up is why there couldn't be no planes is because thousands of people saw it, which is not really accurate. But even if thousands of people did see it, where are the thousands of people that saw the engine crash into the street? I've not found one witness that saw an engine land in the middle of the street. And an engine coming down from 1,000 feet is going to make a hell of a noise. And none of the cameras, about 5 seconds after the plane crash, you don't hear an engine crashing into the street. You know, there will be stories of people almost being taken out by it. You know, I mean, that's going to make a hell of a noise. And a hell of a dent in the concrete, the pavement, which again you don't see to see an engine sitting in the middle of the street. So you can't have it both ways. You know, thousands of people saw plane crashes, and where's the thousands of people that saw the engine or the landing gear? You know, somebody would have been taken out by it. And as I said, it would create a massive thud.
Oh my God, mad people would have been taken out by it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just sitting underneath scaffolding, not even broken. And how does it not dent the sidewalk? I mean, you would think it'd be like an 8-foot pothole from a plane engine, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And you actually look at the position it's in, and we have that video on there. It's not possible. It couldn't have ended up in that position without taking out a light pole or a scaffolding. Or it would be a massive crater in the pavement. And as I said, you know, I have not found one eyewitness anywhere on video or anywhere that that you know that saw it. And you know, I mean, and it doesn't appear in any of the videos either. You don't see an engine come up the other side. You see like a puff of white smoke, a trail of smoke, but you don't see an engine. And again, not only did the plane have to penetrate through the wall initially, but then the engine and landing gear has to penetrate through the other side. And once the plane's in the building, all the momentum's gone. And it's wider than a window frame, so it has to smash through that thick safety glass and through the steel on the other side, and then have the momentum to go probably 200-300 meters away at least. I mean, a heavy jet engine, there's nothing to do that. There's just no way.
Well, you know, and the whole reason, I mean, we don't even need to go down the whole list, James. The whole reason is because it's a bunch of bullshit and it's just planted evidence.
Exactly. I mean, personally,
if it's even planted, do you think they even planted that there? Or do you think they just put a picture of it there? It, I mean, either way, it doesn't really matter, but what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's a Pandora's box. I mean, on the one hand, how could they plant it with thousands of people on the street? But on the other hand, I don't think there was thousands of people on the street. So maybe they planted it, or maybe they just
the street's already closed.
Maybe it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, we already know by looking at things like the Naudette film, when they doing their supposed gas leak thing in the beginning, and then Flight 11 smashes into the building. Well, we're looking at Manhattan, and all you see is a couple of emergency vehicles. There's no traffic, and it's 8:45 in the morning on a Tuesday. Where the hell is all the cars?
Exactly. And, you know, again, I think we're at a point now of the no-claim evidence. That the only people can't argue the evidence because it's so conclusive. The only thing that they can say is, well, thousands of people must have seen it. Now, we'll get into a little bit later why that's not true when you look at the layout of Manhattan, but even if you take that argument, where are the thousands of witnesses to the jet engine crashing into the street? There's not one. Everybody was taking out their cameras and taking a picture of it. But very few people did, and the people who took a picture or a video are not, like, gasping in the background, saying, oh, my God, we just almost got taken out by an engine. And again, what are the odds that it would land on the street and not hit another building anywhere? I mean, when you look at the area, it's pretty unlikely that it would land on the street.
Oh.
It'd probably land on another building.
Yeah. I mean, look where it landed. It landed underneath a scaffolding that didn't even break. I mean, how unrealistic is that?
And didn't knock the sign over either.
Yeah. It's impossible. Something that people don't talk about very often, but I remember when I first saw that engine, I thought, this is the key. This is the secret. You know, this just isn't right. People can't even argue with it. And the one argument they do have, thousands of people saw it. Well, where are the thousands of witnesses to this jet engine hitting the street? No, not only the jet engine, but the landing gear and, I think, another piece as well. We don't have any witnesses anywhere.
Right. Let me add a little something here to it. Not for nothing. If you're flying an aluminum plane with, you know, all these different parts, certain parts are going to break off when it hits it. You know, it's going to be like taking an orange and throwing it at a cheese grater. You know what I'm saying? You know, little things might penetrate, but for the most part, everything's just going to bounce off. You know, you're just going to maybe break that one or two beams, but those aluminum wings aren't going to make it through. There's no way about that. And of course, you know, from the evidence we've seen, the photographic evidence they've tried to show us, it just looks, you know, ridiculous. That's just, you know, my two cents on it.
Yeah, and a lot of people need to remember that, I mean, okay, a jet plane is pretty heavy. You know, it's not like a Coke can. I mean, it is heavy and it's traveling fast. But it's not just once you breach. A lot of people think that once the plane breached the perimeter wall, but there was nothing but space between the plane and the other wall. But that's ridiculous. The way we were told these buildings were designed was you know, truss floors going all the way through, and then 4 inches of concrete on top of every floor. That's 4 inches of concrete, and that would span from one side all the way to the other. And the wingspan of the supposed impact site was probably between 7 and 9 floors. So that's a lot of concrete that the plane has to go through once it gets through that steel. It's not just the steel it's got to go through. It's all the concrete,
right?
All the floors, all the trusses. And trusses are strong, man. They're lightweight, but they're strong. And then at the other side, you've got another steel wall and the very thick safety glass to go through as well. And once the engine goes through all of that, it's got enough momentum to go another 200 meters. It's not even remotely possible.
Yeah, definitely.
All without leaving a hole in the other side of the tower.
You know, it's really insane too, especially like if you look at the NIST diagram of it and everything else. It supposedly took out all these interior columns and everything. You know, I don't know. To me, it's clear to see once you get past the gatekeepers that for some reason don't want you to. Well, we know why, but you know, that don't want you to see that this. You know that the main, you know, six media companies were. In fact, their streams were hijacked by the military, and you know, the scenario was run, and that's the main thing of it. You know, I don't know, think they want the American people to know that they have that much power, or that many people were in on it, but you know, that's what it comes down to. At least a few people at every you know, news station, and a few other a lot of reporters and whatnot. I don't know. What's the we're gonna get into the nose out part, or?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just the ridiculous of it. I mean, just the inconsistencies, I think, of a lot of the images. Just for them, just that alone speaks for itself, don't you? I mean, with the images of the nose out, the images of it melting into the side, the images where the nose doesn't come out. And how does the nose, let's just say that was real, which it isn't. Okay, the plane's fake, but let's just say it was real. An aluminum plane is not going to penetrate a building, like a regular building. That's a huge building. Those World Trade Center buildings at one time were the biggest buildings in the world, weren't they?
Yeah, for about a year until the Sears Tower was built. They were the tallest in the world. And at the time they came down, I believe they were still the 5th and 6th tallest, I think. So they were still massive.
Yeah, so it's absolutely absurd. And the whole thing is with the airplanes, too, that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, a lot of people, let's say, this is speculation right here. Let's just say at 8:43 in the morning, they blew a hole in the side of the tower. I don't know if they did or if they didn't, you know, because for the most part of the day, I think pretty much most of it was just fake media, but there could have been an explosion in the side of the tower to make an effect for everybody across the river, right?
Yeah, I think that there probably was. It is speculation because we don't know what effects that they used to deceive the people on the ground, whether they smoked the area out or what exactly they did. Certainly, for most places in New York, you can't actually see the World Trade Center because of all the tall buildings. But in some long, faraway locations, you can. And for those people, there needed to be some sort of effect. But I'm not... It's all speculation how they did that. And I'm not sure that we'll even know.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I got to get back to the page where we were looking at the evidence, so I know what we're talking about for a second. I was kind of all over the place. Yeah, I have a million things open trying to run the show. Where the hell am I here? Give me 1 second to get to the page. All right.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, they've got the image. The plane's the first on the page. We've got the images of still frames and some compilation videos that show, you know, most of the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I'm there. I'm there now, and for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about by now, if you're listening to the radio show on the, just right next to the Dose of Reality radio page, just click over to the next page over, the 9/11 hoax exposed. And I mean, just let's just stop for 1 minute, guys. Seriously, let's all stop for 1 minute and just look at the first two images. How can you look at those images and tell me that those are real? I mean, how can you really reason that in your mind that's really a plane going into a building? I mean, you have a plane stuck halfway in a building, and there's no damage. Never mind the way the buildings look, which we're going to get into later, you know, why the buildings look so funny and the smoke and everything else. That's a whole other story that, you know, took a lot longer to come out, you know, with the whole, you know, it goes a lot deeper than the planes. And we're going to get into all of that tonight. But while we're talking about the planes, I mean, James, look at the first two pictures, especially the one where I put the red circle on it. I mean, look how obvious it is. I mean, how fake can you get?
The CNN, well, there are two. There's a CNN video, a still frame from CNN, I think supposedly one other picture taken from somebody else from, like, almost exactly the same angle. But those are actually some of the better ones. So some of the other ones are more pronounced. Like, I think the third video I posted on, I just don't have access to the page right now, but it's a video most people have seen. It's shot from behind a fence, and there's this girl in the background, like, after the plane crash. It's like, holy shit, like, it's such a tacked-on, you know, reaction.
I think I have it.
Yeah, if you pause that video, the plane is literally, not only is the nose of the plane in, the wings are in, and all that's left is, I think, one engine and a tail just sticking out, and there's still no hole. It's like at least three-quarters of the way in, and there's no hole. And people say, oh, well, it's a slow camera and, you know, it didn't capture it. Well, they all captured the pod and the flash. And the flash must have been like something that would have happened over a split half a second. So if they all captured the flash, then they should have captured a hole being made. Or at least some of the hole. You know, in some videos there might be no hole. In other videos there will be a bit of a hole. In other videos there will be another hole because it's shot with different frame rate, like different cameras, but the effect is the same in every video. So you can discount that. I think one of your callers, one of your shows, tried to attack you and say, oh, well, maybe you don't see a hole because the damage is occurring faster than what the camera can catch. But you can debunk that because looking at all the videos, it's the same effect in every one of them. No hole. As I said, in some videos you would see parts of the hole, in other videos you would see nothing because they're different videos shot with different cameras. But you just see across the board no hole. It just disappears like a, you know, like a special effect that it is.
Yeah, yep.
But to be honest, the strongest evidence in regards to the planes is the videos that show a different trajectory, long shots of the last 6 or 7 seconds of the flight. Some show it diving in, others show it going on a horizontal angle. I mean, these are all videos that were shown on the major media networks. They're not mostly the ones that came out later on. You know, so the media is complicit in it. You know, what can you say when you see a plane diving in from thousands of feet and then another angle, it's almost on a horizontal? How can you argue? You can't argue with it.
No, you can't argue with it at all.
It didn't even get the trajectory right.
On so many of them. Well. You got 45 or 47 amateur films, and you've got like over 40 different trajectories. It's unbelievable. I'll get the audio up after. I didn't get a time to get to it. And you know, how about the one when you got the one woman's voice screaming, "Oh my God, a plane!" on three different videos.
Yeah, the same undistinctable, you know, it's distinctly the same woman that you hear the same high-pitched scream at the same exact point on three different videos that are supposed to be at three different places. You know, and also too, I just wanted to bring up what James said earlier. I don't know if we were on at the point, but you know, the main thing too is you know, the trajectories. On one of them, you have, you know, the dive bombing one that looks like he's coming in from, you know, all the way up at the top of your screen, and on the other ones, it comes in completely horizontal. Now, there's no way that it's just our eyes fooling us. You know, those are different camera. Those aren't different camera shots of the same event. Those are different ways to you know, different scam. You know, however you want to explain it, but you know, those are fake.
Yeah, I can accept that it might be a little off if one person is higher than another, but it's never going to be that far off. I mean, we're talking about thousands of feet. We're not just talking about 3 or 4 meters. We're talking about thousands of feet at that altitude that that plane was at when it came in. And the skill that it would take to fly a plane, you know, I know this is pretty entry-level stuff, but the skill that it would take to dive a plane and like that for someone who's never flown a jet before is just...
It's impossible. That speed, I've heard at that speed the plane could even break a pot. Now, I don't know that. I'm not an engineer. But I've heard if you're really going that fast, that low, I mean, that's really dangerous.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't break up, but it would probably be just about ready to. And I tell you what, you'd have to be pretty physically strong. And these guys weren't that, we supposed to. I mean, it's all fictional anyway, but you know, you would have to be really good. You'd have to be like, you know. You know, what's the equivalent? You know, like you have to be a professional, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You would absolutely have to be. You'd have to be a professional pilot. I mean, there's no other doubt about it. And just to show you guys some of the doctoring that they did, if you watch some of the clips that we have, and we're not going to play all of them right now, but I do want to play two of them for you guys real quick. And let me see where they have them queued up. I'm going to play a clip. If you look down underneath the first group of videos, there's like, you know, a couple pictures and maybe 6 videos. Then there's some black text. And it talks about the original CNN shot. And this is what we were just talking about. It shows the second plane going into the back of the World Trade Center. And then they actually re-edited this footage and tried to use like the same, you know, make it look like it was the same Michael Herzakhani shot. And they put it on an America Remembers DVD, and they actually added audio to it to make it more dramatic, with people screaming in the background about an airplane. And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous where they would already do this huge forgery, and then when they release these DVDs, they're gonna add even more audio for more dramatic effect. I'm gonna play those clips real quick, just cause I can get them queued up real quick and people can hear them, and then So if you guys are on the page right now, just that first CNN clip on the left, it's a short clip. Just play it and watch how you guys are going to hear an echo for a second. I'm sorry. Just play that first CNN clip and watch how it smashes into the building. It's ridiculous. It's a short clip. 7 seconds. And that's it. Can you guys hear that? Did you guys hear the audio?
Yes.
Okay, and now I'm going to play a re-edit that they made of that same clip, and they put it on an America Remembers DVD. And this is the same Michael Herzakhani shot. Now, on that last clip, I didn't have the volume that loud, but you could hear people screaming, but nobody was screaming anything about a plane. Now listen to the new audio. They add a little music and stuff first, but the plane impact's coming up now. If you guys are on the page, just hit play to the video to the right. Here it comes. Same shot. Listen to the audio now, though. It's coming.
At first, I thought, I'm dreaming, I'm going to wake up.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if all the callers heard that, but when you play, if you didn't play it again on your computer, play those two CNN videos. And on the first video, you know, this is the official second shot, and you can hear people screaming, which would be normal, seeing an airplane smashing into the World Trade Center for the second time. Sure, that would be normal. And then in the second video, which is definitely edited a little bit different, so it's a little bit longer, but it does get to the same exact video frames, and it shows you the same crash from the same spot, from the same perspective, with what should be the same audio. And you start to hear people screaming, and then you hear guys at the end go, "Oh my God, I can't believe a plane just crashed into that building." It's quite comical, isn't it? Isn't it quite comical?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, just think about it. This is the iconic landmark. I mean, wouldn't you say the WTC or whatever? Like, you wouldn't say that building.
No, that is the iconic landmark. Is the airplane? Is the airplane smashing into the building? And it's not even real, you know. James, I know I threw four or five clips up there for you. Were there any other ones specifically you want to play or get into real quick while they're up there?
Probably not in regards to the plane.
All right, well, before we move on to the next section and move on to the jumpers, let's talk about the planes for a minute. You know, when I first got into this movement a long time ago, I heard all this stuff, all this negativity about these no-planers. And now I understand why, because I've gone back and I've seen some of the people they put out there, and I don't even like to use that label. That's the label that they like to put on it. They like to call you no-planer, like you're an idiot or something, because you don't believe a plane hits a building. Guys, if they show you something on TV and you don't believe it, that doesn't make you an idiot. Honestly, that really probably makes you smarter than the people that believe it. Honestly. There's just simply no evidence of any planes anywhere. I mean, you have this day where on the first time in history, all these events happened. They never found any black boxes. There's no bodies for these airplanes. People vaporized in these buildings. I mean, all these outrageous stories. It just goes on and 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 on. And on.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that I've been, since quite a young age, before I even went into 9/11, I've been a bit of an air crash hobbyist. And there are a few air crashes, I don't think they're telling us the total truth, but most people are pretty good. It is unprecedented to have four black boxes, your CVR and your flight data recorder not recovered. Yeah, that's an unprecedented event. And that's another part of being no evidence of the aircraft at the World Trade Center site. The non-recovery of the four black boxes from both planes is unprecedented in history. It's never happened. I mean, there's been times where the data has been so damaged that it's been almost unrecoverable. But the actual box itself is almost indestructible.
Yeah, at least that's what they tell you.
Yeah, well, the box itself is almost indestructible. There's nothing in the official story or any other alternative story besides perhaps some nuclear event that could account for the destruction of those boxes.
No. I mean, that whole nuclear event was just another rabbit trail to chase down. I mean,
actually,
you can speak on that. Why don't you speak on that for a second and just, you know, the nonsense that, behind that.
That actually was the road I was going down for a while. And it wasn't exactly the Kalazov theory that I was buying. It was just, you know, the whole thing that you know, I was buying into the people vaporizing stories and into the, you know, that was my belief for how the so-called first responders got all these, you know, diseases and whatnot. You know, and to me, that's what made sense to me. I don't know, for some reason I always looked through the thermite angle as being controlled opposition. Although I did think that maybe, you know, there was something like that used. But I went down a lot of different angles, you know, before I finally came upon the, the angle where we're at currently, you know, pretty much, the CGI angle. And I think that this is by far explains it the best, and especially explains the reasons for why, there's, so little, victims, in the Social Security Death Index or, you know, anywhere. But I think the nuclear thing is just something, you know, to keep the people that don't buy the original, they go off to that, or they go off to the Judy Woods directed energy weapon one. But either way, all these things, you know, you don't need to take these buildings down if, you know, you've already got them, you know, partially pre-demoed and everything, you know?
Yeah. And that's the other thing, you know, we were going to get into today, and I was going to wait until a little bit later about the buildings. You know, there's a couple conflicting theories on that. A couple come from a couple different forums that we all know of, and a couple of the theories we've all been down the road many times. And I tend to believe in a little bit of both, you know. I still do think a lot of the, you know, some of those floors weren't finished out in the towers, just for the simple reason that if they were going to set off an explosion or whatever, I mean, that would be the perfect place to leave hollow, wouldn't it? I'm not saying the whole building was empty, but I'm just saying maybe where the impact zones were. And we do have pictures where, you know, there's all this empty space up there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably get into that a little too, because we'll cover, obviously, the destruction of the buildings and that. I just want to say one more thing about the planes, is that you'll notice that, like, one of the four most famous plane crashes in history, you know, probably the ones from 9/11, and, you know, all the TV shows that do that, like Mayday and stuff, you never see any of those flights on there, do you?
You know,
because what could they say? They don't have a black box, they don't have any of them. So there's more evidence of those flights never really existing.
None of the flights ever existed. And that's like, you know, some people, it's just, I noticed it right away. I was fortunate enough where I got here late enough where a lot of the debunking of that had already gone on. Movies like September Clues had already come out. It wasn't the first thing I saw. The first thing I saw was Loose Change. So I bought into that whole theory a little bit, which seemed very believable at the time. I mean, when you first get into that type of information, obviously, you know. So I started to fall, you know, the wrong paths. The Alex Jones types, the Jesse Venturas. But within a month, I saw September Clues. And I just knew that there was something with it that was right. I mean, you could, never mind something with it that's right. I mean, there's just things you see with your own eyes. I mean, you're looking at fake airplanes. Is there any other way to say it?
We'll get into it a bit later, as I said, but they want you to follow not only particular people, but they want you to follow particular documentaries, because they actively encourage you, and this is the thing, they actively encourage you to spread that documentary amongst your friends. And the problem is that if you're a serious researcher, after you've shown all your friends those videos, you'll realize that they do contain a lot of errors. And if you try and come back to your friends in a year's time with a new video, with a new theory, they're not going to take you seriously, because you've already attached yourself to Loose Change or In Plain Sight or whatever. So they want you to share those movies around and attach yourself to that message so that you don't become so credible in the future. And in our case,
exactly,
or the case of many people, you've attached yourself to probably three different ones.
And you haven't just attached yourself, James. You've probably attached yourself to it very strongly, with very strong opinions of how right you were. So now it's like, okay, so now you're right again. I thought you were right last time.
Exactly. That's what they want you to do, because they know that if you're a serious researcher, eventually you'll see through it. But probably not before you've shared the message with all your friends. And let's be honest, there is a bit of ego in it. There is a bit of, you know something and everyone else doesn't, and you want to share it with people. I mean, it's human nature. But by the time you've told everybody what you know, you find out you're wrong, and that if they were even going to give you a chance the first time, which most people don't, they're not going to give you a chance second or third time. Especially if the message sounds crazy.
Oh, no, they're definitely not going to give you a chance a second or a third time. Guys, you know what we're going to do? Go ahead. What were you going to say? Because this isn't even important what I was going to say. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think you found this personally and myself as well. That I've had to pretty much write off most of my family and friends because I even had them, write them off in regards to 9/11, because I had them believing that it was a conspiracy, but on the wrong level. And I can't go back to them with this new message because they don't buy it, you know?
Yeah, well, at least you got them to that level that you did, because I could never get them to that level. The thing I was just going to say, guys, is, first off, we started the show really, really, really late tonight anyways, so our listeners were going to be less, so we knew most of it's going to be in the archive, but I do think this is going to be a great, informative show. So I think tomorrow night, if it's all right with you guys, why don't we replay this at our regular time for the next couple nights so people can catch it?
Yeah, we might as well.
You know what I mean? Instead of just having it in the archive, we'll announce it, we'll put it in the stream. Hey, we have a show tonight. It's from last night, but, you know, a lot of you missed it. Listen to this 9/11 special. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good idea.
All right, yeah. And it's not like it killed us, and we probably dropped two callers because of it, you know? But I hate losing one caller because of it, you know?
Right.
Having a little audio issue.
I think, you know, if they were keen enough to tune in, they'll probably catch the archive.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we look for the archive, really. I mean, it's always going to be where most of the listeners are going to come from. But when you're doing an interactive show with the blog and everything, obviously as time goes on, listeners probably won't be as compelled to go and open that blog again. But, most of it's pretty self-explanatory, I suppose. I mean, I do think most people have seen all this footage. I mean, certainly they would be sort of here if they hadn't.
No, it's true. But you know what? And what you said about the interactive thing is so true, too, is we do get a lot of interactivity on this show, for sure. Like, a lot of people, they like when we do these blogs and they can look at the evidence and stuff so they can see what we're talking about. So, you know, hopefully a lot of them, when they listen to the replay, will do the same thing. And I'm sure that they will, you know? I'm sure that they will. So, you know, besides some other obvious plain animations, and I'm going to play a couple other videos after where it's just absolutely ridiculous. We know that there was supposed to be 45 or 47 amateur photographers. Guys, if you were standing outside, right, and I came flying down my street in my car doing 70 miles an hour, you probably couldn't capture me on your camcorder if you weren't ready for it. And all these people supposedly caught this plane going 550 knots, miles per hour, whatever. I mean, it's just absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah, three. I think the key there as well is that 3/4 of the images would be blurred. You know, but none of them are blurred. They either catch the silhouette perfectly or they don't catch it at all. Most of them would be blurred. Like, do you think any blurred plane pictures? It'll be blurred. It will be streaky, you know?
Just the way that the people focus in. All the zoom in and the zoom outs on everything. On the collapses, on the planes. Yeah. I mean, what are these people? All professional photographers?
And something I've always felt is that the absurd thing is that on some of the images, like the CNN one, they zoom out to catch the plane perfectly. If they had stayed zoomed in, they wouldn't have caught the whole plane, but they probably would have caught enough of it to see some conclusive detail. but they're all just far enough away so that the silhouette is believable. It's not really believable, but to the point where what you see is doesn't have any discernible detail on it.
And that, yeah, exactly.
That's how they introduced the whole the whole theory of different planes being used, you know, like a cargo plane or something like that. You know, that's by using those silhouetted images, they opened up that pathway as opposed to a clear United Airlines plane.
Yeah, and those are they all, you know, and the other thing too, James, I want to speak on real quick. When you look at the images of the planes, I mean, you know, when there are let's say when we're talking about the same plane, okay, let's not talk about the south or the north. Let's just talk about maybe Flight 11 or Flight 175. I'm not sure which one first, but when you look at images of them, I mean, some of them are in the dark, some of them are in the shade. How does that even happen? How does that happen on a regular sunny day when they're flying the same flight path?
Different colors.
Yeah, and another thing I want to say is that they actually didn't want to show you an image of a perfect United Airlines or American Airlines plane. They wanted you to show you a silhouette because it would just lead you down all sorts of a silhouette with a pod or a flash or whatever, you know, lead you down
right.
all sorts of.
I agree with you, James. I think a lot of these so-called mistakes they did on purpose, just because they knew that there would be a segment of the population that would not believe the official story, you know, once they dug into it a little bit. And this way they could, you know, they could form their Alex Jones truth movement and you know, and then have all these sorts of weird speculations about things being attached to the plane or you know, the fact that there was no windows or, you know, maybe it was drones, you know, all these things. And the average person, the average, you know, person that's not a researcher that doesn't, you know, that just believes everything they see on TV is just going to take their word for it and say, okay, fine. But, you know, the researchers that, you know, say the first step, the Alex or your regular people that believe that there was planes or drones, you know, that's they want that speculation going on. They wanted to muddy those waters, and that's what I think they did a lot of that purposely. You know, as far as that goes, I think James is totally right. You know, when he says that, you know, they didn't want you to see American Airlines right in the side or whatever. And I think the same goes for the Pentagon. You know, why wouldn't they show us a CGI Pentagon shot instead of just showing us that fake? You know, I mean, you know, regardless, they're all fake, but why even show us that little bit of a supposed security footage where you don't see anything? You know, you see a little white thing for a couple seconds.
Everything's skeptical. They want to leave everything up for skepticism, so you can't really argue it from either side.
Right.
That's
exactly.
How I feel. Guys, we're getting a call. Hang on 1 second, okay? Welcome to Dose of Reality Radio. You're on with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. How can we help you?
How can we help?
Let's see. Sorry about that. I got cut off.
Oh, James, this is you?
Yes. Yeah, so, I forgot to say, every hour I just have to call back in. It's just because of the way my phone bill is structured. You probably didn't notice with the call drop, but yeah, I get a cheap call to the States for an hour, and then I will have to call back again. Otherwise, it's just because it's a long distance call. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, you gotta get yourself a cheap Skype headset.
yeah, I'm definitely gonna move on to it.
Yeah, some people out there were trying to actually help me today with some other options as far as besides Skype. I guess there's a service out there called Mumble. Does anybody know about that? If that works any good. I'm just looking for something more stable. I can't stand the dropped calls. I can't stand the audio issues like earlier when I can't, you know what I mean? It's just, it drives me nuts. It really does. I know Simone, you suggested Ustream, and I'll check that out tomorrow with you for sure. This week, I definitely want to look into some new technical issues for the site for sure.
Maybe even, too, look into what that Trevor talked about, the SAM broadcaster thing, because you know, supposedly.
Oh,
they
yeah,
don't have...
no. Do you know the thing with that is, Justin? Like, you know how I said this takes a lot of time? That's going to take me like 3 days of staring at the computer to figure that whole thing out. Like, that's really involved. I just haven't got to it yet. I am going to use that, though. I do plan on making that our main thing. So,
right. Even if we take 2 weeks off and you know, or just do a practice show or something.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll take this week. Maybe we'll take this week off so we can replay this show.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Right. Since a few people are going to miss it, and then people will tune in on our regular night, and we'll probably get 30 more people to listen to the freaking thing. Right.
Yeah. Might as well. Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
All right.
How's that sound to you, James? That way we'll get a whole lot more listeners. We'll put this on next. We'll put this on our regular slot this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We won't get the same interaction, but if you guys are around and you guys want to do a Skype call or something, I mean, we can still interact with people too.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. But what direction are we going to go next with it?
Well, I've got a big list of things here, and I mean, we could really go in so many directions.
Yeah.
I was going to have James probably get into the jumpers next. Oh, did you already touch on that?
I think the jumpers probably, we're sort of going chronologically. I mean, you know, the plane strikes were first, obviously, and then the jumpers. I mean, we'll talk about lots of different things, but. I mean, you know, most of what happened, obviously, in the Pentagon and Shanksville was sort of unseen in regards to live on the day, but it all ties together. But I just wanted to quickly say on the plane, and this is another thing you don't see. I mean, how many people travel every day at airports and things? Where's a video of everybody from any of those airports on 9/11? And I think one of them went from Boston, didn't it? I don't know. I'm sure, have you been to that airport?
Two of them. Two of the planes came from Boston. I've been to the airport many times.
Right? I mean, that's lots of people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons of people.
Where's all the home video? Like, not only are people seeing off the passengers and, you know, but where's any video that anybody took in that airport on 9/11 that was catching any plane?
Oh, there was one. You know what's funny? It's funny that you mentioned that. Do you remember the one woman that tried to say that she had a video, but she sent it to Margaret Oganowski, and she never made a recording of it?
Right. Yeah. Of the flight before it. Before
and
it took off,
he,
supposedly.
Yeah, yeah. And he was supposedly sitting at this different gate and all this other stuff. I mean, you can't believe any of the nonsense. But seriously, there would be people. People take pictures and video of airplanes. That's what they do when they're at the airport.
I can tell you that I did a lot of travel in the mid-90s, and, you know, when camcorder sort of came out, and every family holiday that we went on, my dad always had his camcorder out. He was always filming in the airport. If any of us went away, he'd always be up in the viewing gallery filming the plane take off. I bet you 95% of flights, maybe the ones at nighttime, get recorded by somebody, a family member or a relative of somebody who saw them off at the airport. Where are all those videos? You've got 200 and something passengers, supposedly. That's a lot of families. And some of them would have taken videos. But even anybody on a different plane who took a video of their family members, like, you know, that's a valuable video. It could have the hijackers in the background somewhere, you know? Like if you took a video anywhere in an airport on 9/11, you know, like, that's valuable footage. You know, or any still picture you took. Like, it could have one of the hijackers in the background. So, I mean, I haven't done a lot of research into this, but is it possible that maybe those airports were cordoned off on that day, or shut down to some extent, because where are all those videos? I mean,
it's very possible, because think about this. Well, I was going to go get a little later into the CGI at the Pentagon, but there was definitely some CGI done in front of the Pentagon where they actually put traffic in front of the Pentagon, and it looks like they closed the traffic down a little earlier before, this is kind of like the same type of deal where you could just close the airport a half hour early and who's going to know, you know?
Yeah, and when it reopens again, there's so much panic and chaos. I don't think any of the people who work there would think twice about it.
No, they wouldn't.
Think about how chaotic that day was, just even for regular people. I remember just being at school, like, even in a different country, like, the whole world stopped, man. Everybody was thinking, like, you know, if you actually worked at an airport and had to reroute all these planes and everything, you'd be so busy, you wouldn't know what the hell happened. You wouldn't even have time to think about it. They could pull pretty much anything they wanted.
Yeah. Pretty much. They could pull pretty much anything they wanted.
That issue was something that's prevalent across the whole of 9/11 with the victims and supposed people. There's just no home video of any of them. The still pictures we have on the memorials are a joke. But where's the home video footage? And not just taken by your family member, but of any other family member. Like if you go to a kid's birthday party, there's always someone with a camera in the background. Where are all those home videos of all those people that died? You never see any of them.
They don't
exist.
There's
a couple that kind of show people working in an office, but they're pretty generic. I mean, like, there's such a lack of background of these people.
Like Linda Cintron type of photos.
Yeah. I mean,
real grainy, like, it could be anybody type of photos. Not the one where she's supposedly waving out the window, but the one actually inside the office. Those are the type of people you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and another thing is people need to remember, most of the people that died on 9/11 supposedly were pretty old. They weren't young guys, like, you know, they were people that were office workers. Like, they were, you know, they were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, like, their whole life. Like, how many videos would somebody have taken of them? Like, you know, where are they? You know, there would be thousands of them.
They'd be everywhere. Now, not just that. What about the memorials, James? The memorials have been sitting there for 11 years, and I didn't know this till recently. I thought that because, and we're going to get a little bit into the EXIF data and all that type of stuff with the pictures and the obituaries being pre-done and all that, but I thought that's why a lot of the pictures were down. They just never finished it. There's like 1,400 people that don't even have a picture on the friggin' memorial. What family member is ever going to let that happen?
Right, or they have these grainy, these grainy ones that were supposedly taken from Ground Zero down there and blown up and put on the website. Just regardless, it's these. Am I right about that, or where some of these grainy shots came from? The ones that there's only one image of some people and others there's no image. You know, like and others they yanked off because of the EXIF data.
Right. It's on the memorials. There's like some old general looking type of guys like in military suits and they're real grainy. One of them looks like Gene Hackman. He reminds me of, you know who I'm talking about? He looks like Gene Hackman in like a military suit. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like who would let their family member, and especially in a day and age today, like where there's so many people that like have good cameras and pictures of everybody. You know, I mean, who would let their family have a picture that just sits down there like that for years and just sucks? Like a terrible picture. You can't even make out their face.
What I want to say is I think we need to make this point clear because the more and more time goes on, this point becomes more and more prevalent. 2001 was not the dark ages. We had good cameras then.
Right.
I went back through family albums that I took in the late 90s, like just with a disposable camera. And the quality was pretty good. It was a hell of a lot better than what we're seeing in these. They look like something out of like a 70s yearbook. You know, the quality of these pictures is a joke.
Yeah, no, it really is. You would think that they did this in 1978 or something, you know. But by some of these,
it's the same as the moon thing. I mean, the quality of the pictures is a joke on purpose, so it makes it harder for you to pick things apart. You know what I mean?
And again, this we'll probably talk about this a bit later, but it sort of morphs into another point of what I said, there being no home videos and pictures and things. There's also no video or pictures apart from one, maybe two examples of people, aside from the, put the Nordea brothers thing out of your mind, because you can see why they did that when you consider this point. Of all the, like, 50,000 people in that building, no one took a picture. Like, one or two people took a picture escaping the building. Everybody outside the building felt so compelled to whip out the camera and film everything, but nobody escaping inside the building did the same. And they're the people that were more likely to have a camera on them. And the thing is, in 2001, it was probably 2 or 3 years before cell phone cameras became mainstream, but they could never pull this hoax today, because everybody would have a camera on them, every last person. But even on that day, on a beautiful day like that, where people work in a high-rise building, a lot of those people would have had a camera on them, even if they weren't tourists, the people at work. And virtually none of them took a picture in their office, on the way down, in the lobby. It's just
you don't have any videos tourist. Of, you know, you'd have all these reporters fighting over these shots, and you don't have any video of thousands and thousands and thousands of people leaving these buildings. Like, those would be some of the most dramatic shots ever. Look at the people escaping from the World Trade Center just before it came down.
Right.
Look at the thousands of people filing out right. the doors. And don't give me the bullshit that they wouldn't let the media near there, because they get all types of access, okay? They'll go to the back door. They'll go to the side door. They'll go to the tunnel. If there's really 50,000 people in there, they would videotape them coming out, and you don't have it. You have a couple of videos of a couple of people coming out of some doors covered in dust, and it's all just total bunk. And you know, and to go back to the thing with the with we talked earlier about maybe the tower not being fully occupied or fully built. Okay. The other thing that I want to mention, you know, the other theory is that, you know, in 1993, the World Trade Center was supposedly bombed and supposedly killed six people. And this guy, Eric Darton, actually wrote a book on it about how they replaced, displaced 50,000 tenants out of the World Trade Center into other office space in Manhattan. That's all the tenants we were told that were in the building. So they moved 50,000 people out of there in 93. Well, who's in there still? Just probably a couple controlled companies, like, you know, the Marshall McLennan types and Cantor Fitzgeralds and Bank of America and a few others like that. And then, you know, they keep the observation deck open
and windows,
for tourists.
Right.
Yeah, and windows for tourists. And they keep the subway open to keep the traffic going in and out of there. And it kept hundreds of thousands of people going in and out of there. And who's ever going to know it's not a busy office building, you know?
Yeah, and here's something on that point. From 1978 or whatever to 2001, that building was supposed to be fully occupied. How many pictures or videos are there of people at their desk in that building? Pretty few and far between.
Yeah.
You know, that's like 23 years of working around. And these, like, those people in those buildings have worked long hours, man. There's all the videos of Christmas parties and things like that. You see maybe a couple at the most. And the thing about those World Trade Center floors is they're pretty generic. I mean, you could build a prop somewhere and make that, you know. But it doesn't mean it's to build. But there'll be thousands of videos. They'll be all over YouTube, man. It's valuable footage.
Of course, like, now they would.
Pay a fortune for that. All you see is just tourists visiting the observation deck and this is video of people hard at work over the years.
Of course.
Like, there will be thousands of videos. Like, as I said, Christmas parties, board meetings, like,
everything everybody's ever done at the World Trade Center, if they still had the footage, they'd release it.
And it's not just one day. As I said, it's 23 fucking years worth of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not just one day. 9/11 was one day, but if you were ever in the World Trade Center for the 23 years of that it was around or whatever, and you had a video of a picture of it, Wouldn't you show people? Wouldn't you post that on your Facebook page? Wouldn't you send that to people? Hey, this is me at the World Trade Center before it came down.
Oh, yeah, and see, not just, this isn't just one business. There's tons of companies, hundreds of companies over the years, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah, I mean.
Supposedly, and I forgot to post a link, and I'll post it up during the next break, guys. I'm going to post a link for you guys that I'll put right at the top of the blog, and I want you to look at it. It's going to be the occupancy report for the towers. And you guys are just going to see. It's such bullshit. It's even according to their own paperwork, which you can't really go by. When it comes to government paperwork, here's how I look at FOIA requests and SSDI and things like that. You look at them for discrepancies. When there's major discrepancies, there's issues. You can't actually look at the numbers and say, okay, well, this is this and this is that. But when there's all these discrepancies and all this paperwork that's always usually, you know, 95 to 100% legit, it just doesn't make sense. Now, you know, we have pictures in 1978 where they didn't even finish the top floors of the towers. And Cantor Fitzgerald, Marsh McLennan, and other companies are listed on those floors during those years. And those are the same very companies that claimed 44% of the life loss on 9/11. Just between the two of them, they claimed almost 1,500 deaths. And at some point, as they weren't on the floors, as they say they occupied. Right. So it makes you wonder if they were ever on those floors.
And Marston McLennan is a known Henry Kissinger ghost company as well. Wasn't he the top shareholder of that company?
I don't know. You would know better than me. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, he was. And that's, you know, and of course, just like, you know, so many others that had, you know, their, you know, so many of these same people that have, you know, so many conflicts of interest as far as that goes. It's not like we're talking about regular business people or whatever, you know, the worst of the worst.
Yep. I was just looking at the chat and seeing some of the things Simon wrote too. I hadn't seen the chat in a minute. I just want to thank everybody that stuck around because we do have about, not as many as we usually do, but we got about half as many people as we usually do, and it's 3 in the morning, and we did have audio issues for 45 minutes, so I want to thank everybody that stuck around, and anybody that heard any of that bullcrap earlier, if you want to hear the whole show tomorrow, I promise I'll edit out all that, you know, nonsense at the beginning, and the show will start right from the beginning. And please share this show if you like it. If you don't like it, don't share it. But if you do, please get this information out. Let people know that it's not crazy to think the things that we're saying. Why don't you try to debunk what we're saying and see if you can? Because you can't.
I just want to say to people that a lot of people might think, oh, we're just on here spinning shit. Like, I'm issuing an open challenge to people, you know. Go out there and find us some videos of, you know, Christmas parties at the World Trade Center. Find us some videos of at the airport that day. Or, you know, but I'm telling you, I've done the digging for 10 years. You won't find it.
No, you can't even find these victims or their families or their old high school friends. Some of them don't even have real addresses.
Right.
Yeah, where's all the, and it'd be like 3,000, like, pages on Facebook, you know, like, rest in peace, so-and-so, you know, like, these people, they'd be pretty famous, you know? Like, to die on 9/11, like, that's, you know, you'd be pretty famous, you know? You'd be legendary amongst all your mates, you know? Like, just, I'm telling you, like, when a friend dies, man, like, you know, you go looking through all your old pictures and videos, and, you know, so much of that stuff would be posted all the time, even today, you know?
It will be posted everywhere. Guys, you know what we're going to do? We're going to switch directions when we get back from this. So why don't we take that quick break now? We're going to play a quick song, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. How's that sound?
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
A new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
You got
if this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Like every day, I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam, I said never. You in tune to a hard truth soldier spitting. I stay committed, gives a f*** to die, I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control. And all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another push season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never fit to stop it. The Illuminati, 666, all connected. Stole the votes, they control the race and take elections. It's the Skull and Bones Freemason Kill Committee. See the dragon getting shittier in every city.
Who's the one with the most to gain? 9/11 motherfuckers couldn't stand his name. Now even niggas waving flags like they lost their mind. Everybody got opinions but don't know the time. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is making enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Ain't nothing changed but more colored people locked in prison. These pigs still beat us but it seems we forgetting. But I remember 4 September how these devils do it. Giuliani asked Diallo how he doing. We in the streets, holler jail to the thief. Follow, waving flags, bring these dragons to their knees. Oil, blood, money, make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying, never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major.
What would you do?
My records always come the same. Keep it real, ain't no fillers, motherfucker blinging. Mine eyes seen the gory of the coming of the beast. So every story, every word I'm saying, peace. See, you could witness the Illuminati body count. Don't be surprised, these is devils that I'm talking about. You think a couple thousand lies mean shit to killers? Swear to God, we the ones, ain't no villains. Or any other word they think to demonize a country. Ain't no terror threat unless approval rating slumping. So I'ma say it for the record, we the ones that planned it. Ain't no other country took a part, I had their hand in. Just a way to keep you scary so you think you need them. Praising Bush, why that killer take away your freedom? How many of us got discovered but ignore the symptoms? Niggas talking loud but ain't nobody saying shit.
And with the Fourth Amendment gone, eyes are on the first. That's why I'm spitting cyanide each and every verse. I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the Fifth each and every session now. And while Reichstag burns, see the public buy it. I see the profiling, see the media's compliance. War is good for business, see the vicious make a savior. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major.
Understand symbolism, Nazi fascist symbolism. You will notice on each side of the presidential podium two interesting, perhaps 5 foot high symbols on each side of the podium where the president stands. This is what is referred to as a fasci, a bundle of sticks with a hatchet head. Now, what is the importance of a fasci? This is a symbol of Nazi fascism.
This is a symbol of Nazi fascism. Nazi fascism.
Okay, everybody.
All right, so we're back with the Dose of Reality radio show.
Yeah, my mic was having an issue. Justin, you good? You can hear, right?
Yes, here you're fine.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, guys, we're back. Yeah, we did have a little bit of an order that we wanted to go in. We kind of started jumping around a little bit. We went to the planes. We went to the jumpers. Some of the points that we wanted to really, you know, get out tonight, guys, is that, you know, this whole thing was just a giant media hoax. I mean, the main point of 9/11 was a psyop just to scare you. There weren't 3,000 victims. There weren't 266 victims on any airplanes. There weren't even people in those towers. Those towers were emptied out long before. The streets were closed off. There's many instances you can see it. If you guys want to look for some of your own fraud, like, I know you guys know there's a lot of other, you know, a lot of other people putting videos and stuff out there, but just look at some of the basic propaganda, some of the mainstream propaganda. If you were to watch the Naudette film, and we talked about this earlier, I think, about, you know, with the gas leak. But let's get on to the plane crash. If you look into the plane crash hitting the building, that, you know, shape of the plane hole that they show in the building, it doesn't even appear for about 18 seconds after the plane's in the side of the building. And you can literally see it get drawn on with a pen. Drawn on. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it's outrageous. And as well, in the case of both strikes, the explosion was so delayed.
Oh, it's very delayed.
And one thing I just want to say about that as well, and we'll probably have to move on what happened stuff on to talk about the jumpers in more detail, but in regards to the planes, the fireballs themselves, like if you look at the video of the second plane, that fireball, if the plane crashes around 478, just the orange part of that fireball goes up beyond the roof line and, like, I think, put like 10 floors above the roof line, and the foot part of the fireball goes even higher. That's like a 40, 50-story fireball from the plane crash that supposedly had 10,000 gallons of jet fuel. Now, maybe it's just me, but I don't think that's possible. Like a 40-story fireball, it's massive.
Yeah, it's just... And you know what? That stuff's supposed to burn right off, you know?
Like, what, Building 7 was like 52 stories tall. 40 stories is like a huge building height. Like, a plane crashed into the ground, you think the fireball would go up like 40, 50 stories? It's just ridiculous. It's not even remotely believable. I've seen, there's been videos of jets crashing. The flame part of the fireball goes probably a few stories high. not much higher. There's no way it will be 40 stories tall. You don't really notice it on the videos because the buildings are so big. And the fireball is just ridiculously oversized. And you're right, in the case of that first plane, it does appear, well, it is the hole, it appears like so slowly over time as the fireball sort of, I mean, it's just an absolute joke. That whole Norway film is just a propaganda piece. I think large parts of it were probably not even filmed on the day.
But oh, no.
I have no idea. You know
what's crazy, too, about the whole Nordette Brothers video? If you guys don't know what it's, you know, it's just a video of a couple of brothers that are following a young firefighter around or whatever, supposedly. And it's just weird because they so happen to get a call in for a gas leak and show up on, I believe it's VC Street. And they end up having to be one of the few places that you would actually get a straight ahead money shot of this, you know, first plane hitting. It's so outrageous that they would actually, you know, they would be in this exact spot, you know, to get this perfect, you know, shot. And then, you know, and also you could tell in this shot here too that there's no traffic, and this is you know, down you know, we're talking Manhattan here. We're talking Lower Manhattan. You know, and they're in the middle of the road and have everything already, it's already blocked off and everything.
I think it's been proven that it was the only spot where you could get that shot from.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's the only spot, but it's one of the only few. I'd agree with that. Definitely. I mean, people think that these buildings, because they're so massive, you could see them from everywhere. People don't understand what New York's like. I've been to New York, as many of you have, I'm sure. I was there actually right after 9/11. I went there for New Year's Eve in 2012.
2002, you mean?
Yeah, 2002. So obviously the towers weren't there, and I couldn't see the towers anymore if they were there. But if they were, you could see how it is. I mean, there's just skyscrapers everywhere. You don't see the sky. So if there's skyscrapers behind skyscrapers, you don't see them. So to think that, you know, tens of thousands of people would have seen these airplanes and all these crazy stories, you know, it's just kind of nonsense. What about the helicopters, guys? Why didn't the helicopters rescue anybody off the roofs?
Yeah, that's something that I'm going to talk about with the jumpers, and it's just absurd to believe, you know, that the all those helicopters you see. I mean, it would be like, if you got 250 people jumping out of the building, it would be hundreds of wrongful death lawsuits. Like, you know, that's voluntary manslaughter, isn't it? I feel like a rescue helicopter, you know. You don't even have to land on the roof. I mean, you can lower a line down and pluck people out of the window. I mean, you know, to think that these helicopters just sat there and just let, they would have been close enough to see the looks on these people's faces, and to think that they just sat there and let people jump out is ridiculous. I mean, like, think about it. If you're at a swimming pool, you know, and there's lots of people drowning, like, you think the lifeguards aren't going to save anybody because, well, they couldn't rescue everybody, and they could probably only rescue a few people? I mean, look at the outrageous lengths that people go to, like, to rescue people lost at sea. Like, pretty vain efforts, really. Like, when there's not much hope. Like, it would have been pretty straightforward to rescue a lot of those people from that building, and there was no effort whatsoever. It's very strong evidence that there's nobody up there.
No, there was nobody up there. You know, and speaking about nobody up, I'm gonna touch on a quick couple of points, and then I'm gonna let you get back into the jumpers real quick, because I know you want to get into it, and I just want to make the point, guys, that all those videos that you saw of people around the World Trade Center filming are bullshit. They're all bullshit. That whole area was cordoned off. Do you think, because they did know, no matter what theory you believe, pick your theory, they knew those buildings were coming down. They're not going to have all those people standing underneath it. Those blocks were blocked off. And just like Justin mentioned a few minutes ago, they were blocked off in the Nord A thing.
Yeah.
Justin, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. Yeah, they had to be blocked off. And you know, I don't know if you want to get into this that early, but you know, just what you were showing me, you know, the thing you were showing me yesterday, you know, just showed how little traffic there was down there. Even, you know,
at 8:45.
Right.
On a Tuesday in Manhattan. Dude, I live in Lowell, Mass, okay? To get across the city takes me 40 minutes over here. I couldn't even imagine Manhattan at the same time. Seriously. And there's no cars on the street on 9/11? Like, what's going on? There's just too many inconsistencies. There's some things, you know, we got a lot of things to get into, so... James, what do you want to get into with the jumpers? Some of the absurdity of it, some of the absurdity of the images.
Do you have some of the images where the people?
I got the images right up on the site.
Where it looks like some of them were shot out of a cannon. You know, they're on the other side of the.
Yeah, I got the proof. Look, guys, how about this? Let me lead for 1 second. I'll let James take over. Go to our page that we set up. The 9/11 the hoax uncovered page. Scroll down just a little bit underneath the airplane things, and you'll see in blue letters the word jumpers. And we'll let James take it from here. James, why don't you start with the picture on the left and the right and just tell people what we're looking at. I mean, the left one's ridiculous. It's like a Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, the images of the jumpers are absurd. I mean, but in regards to the jumpers, we've got a few different... I mean, we've got images of people jumping within the flight and videos, and then you have pictures and videos of people in the window. Sort of categorize them all as jumpers on, but all the images are just ridiculous. And this is, first of all, the sheer logistics of it, like, there's a lot wrong with the jumpers. And this is, I guess, one thing they never expected us to question, you know. It's like the Holocaust, you know, you just can't even, you know, it's so personal, you can't even question it. The first major issue with the jumpers is that all of them come from the North Tower. None of them from the South that can be discerned from any of the video footage, which is totally wrong. And the image you see of people in the window frames are very suspicious because the kind of glass that they would use in those skyscrapers would be very, very thick. It has to protect the people down on the streets. And I don't think the people in the offices would be able to break the window.
Yeah.
Certainly not clean out of their frame to be able to be hanging out the window like that.
It's almost like
pretty badly cut up from the glass in the window frame, and you don't see that in the pictures. In fact, you don't see people, you know, with like a wet towel wrapped around their mouth, or you know, like they're just in their window vest. Some of them, you know, like if it's really that hot, you know. Like, the images
and
are
just,
so
just think about it. I mean. If you just think about, you know, the fact of bringing yourself to jump out of a skyscraper, I mean, it takes a lot of balls to do that. I mean, there's got to be some bad conditions behind you. Now, I understand what they're trying to say happened behind them, but you wouldn't think that 200 people would jump out. I mean, 200? Come on.
No, even if you're suicidal to begin with, the image that would confront you looking out those windows from 350 meters up. Man, that is scary.
Real scary.
That is scary stuff.
Real scary. And if
to be...
Go ahead.
Well,
I'm sorry,
To be leaning out the windows the way they were, like, so haphazardly, you would think at the least you would be lying flat on your stomach with your head peering over the window, so, you know...
What about the lady with the baby? What about the lady with the baby hanging out the window like Michael Jackson?
pod. It's just fucking ridiculous.
It's there. We can show people. It's the fourth picture down in the left column there, if you want to show people.
There's a lady with a baby hanging out?
It's what it looks like. I mean, I can't guarantee you that's what it is, but that's what it certainly looks like to me.
Really? Now, was there even supposedly any babies that died?
No.
I never heard of any.
The official was the youngest, I think, died, and he was supposedly 17.
But, this woman trapped up above the smoke. Dude, it's like a Michael Jackson scene. Justin, I don't know if your computer's letting you get on there, but
anybody
that's listening to the blog right now, I'm just going to keep explaining it in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about. If you click on the page that says the 9/11 hoax uncovered, you won't lose your audio stream. It'll just open another window for you. And if you just scroll down to where it says the jumpers and go down about four pictures, there's a white picture with a bunch of white frames. And what are we looking at? Are we looking at a woman holding a baby out a window?
Who would even do that?
Never mind jump. Who's going to hold their freaking kid out the glass?
Well, you know what we should do, to be honest, is then put out a new campaign. Instead of the Building 7 campaign, let's put out the campaign of who is this baby why didn't we hear about this baby that died in the World Trade Center? Who is this kid? We want to know, why are we being lied to about this kid? Makes sense. If that's one of their official images they're trying to push forward, I say that makes good sense to throw it back at them.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I have my newspaper from September 12, 2001, and those jumper images are in there. These are images that were put out by the media. These are not something that's later on.
Oh, no, I know that. And, I know that. I'm just saying that the one with the baby, I wasn't aware of. I'm just saying that, I've gone through them myself, and a few years ago, this is when I started, I'd say probably a year and a half to 2 years ago, I started looking into this stuff more. And that was one of the first things that bothered me was how far out some of them were, the lifelessness of some of them, the total discrepancies. Some of them you could just tell they were just airbrushed into a picture. It looked so phony, and I don't know, after looking at it, there was a good video on YouTube too that broke it down, and it just makes sense. It's like, that was just the shock factor, and really, it was just so people could see some kind of death on 9/11, which, that's what they had to convey in people's minds.
And that's all they could convey, since there weren't people in the buildings,
Right.
And that's what they could combine.
That same image shows two or three people squashed up into one window. It's like 6 or 7 feet of window space once you take out the air conditioning unit that was in the window frame. It shows like three people squashed into one window frame. Like, it's just absurd. I mean, it's not even...
What about the one where the woman is standing in the supposed hole that the plane came out of, the plane went into or whatever? It's like, wouldn't that be one of the hottest spots, I would think, supposedly?
And she's there for like an hour, waving. Yeah. That's Edna Cintron, supposedly.
Yeah.
That's who that supposedly is. So let's move a little bit past some of the more well-known stuff, and let's get into a little bit of the CGI stuff, if you guys don't mind. We got a lot of stuff to say. We're going to cover the memorials, the victim compensation funds, the fact that there's no exit interviews. There's a lot of things, but there's this whole new angle to 9/11 that people are afraid to look at. I won't call it a new angle anymore because it's been out there for a few years now. It's just been viciously, viciously, viciously attacked by people within the truth movement, or the supposed truth movement, what's called the truth movement, which is really usually the disinformation movement. And the very first thing that they tell you about 9/11 is TV fakery is absolutely, totally wrong. And the reason is because they're protecting the media. And what they did, you know, and they put all these crazy looking people out there to represent it. And what it does is it scares people away from looking at it. But when you actually take the time, guys, and you go through all this stuff, it's not just the plane animations, okay? It's not just some CGI stuff at the Pentagon. It's the everything. I don't want to say everything. I'm not going to say every video is fake. But, I mean, you got, like, the dust cloud coming up the street. That's not a real video. As a matter of fact, James, you made a comment about that dust cloud. Wasn't that real similar to another movie that you saw? Was it you that was telling me that?
Yeah, Deep Impact. There's a scene that showed like a tidal wave going through the World Trade Center, and it's shot from almost exactly the same angle as one of the dust clouds.
And it's crazy.
It's just absurd anyway. Like, why would a building collapse, create a dust cloud? It wouldn't. It would collapse and it'd be a tuft of concrete, but it wouldn't be.
And it wouldn't have a bunch of paper flying around, dude. It wouldn't have a bunch of paper flying around, that's for sure.
20 miles an hour chasing people down the street. It's just absurd. It wouldn't happen that way. You know, you just wouldn't.
No, it would never happen that way. Now, to take it a little step farther, and, you know, some people are going to think this is a little bit out there, but it's not. This is the truth. Okay, guys? Okay, we talked about the planes. We talked about the jumpers. They're both faked. Totally, totally faked. They faked the planes. They faked the jumpers. And that's not all they faked. Everything they showed us on TV that day, pretty much. I mean, maybe there was some real street interviews, but almost every shot we saw was doctored or made in a Hollywood studio or on a CGI screen or all these other Hollywood techniques. You know, I don't want to get which one is specific, you know, because I'm not a Hollywood producer. I don't know all the techniques that they use. But they used a boatload of them. And I'm going to show you a couple of them right now. Go to our little blog page here, the 9/11 Hoax Uncovered. I'm just waiting for it to roll a little bit here. Jesus, look at these victims. I'm going to get a laugh out of that in a minute. And if you scroll down, guys, please, scroll down to where after you see pictures of the towers, you'll see a bunch of articles, not a bunch of articles, you'll see a few paragraphs. About 75% of the way down the page, you'll start to see some pictures. You see the pictures? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah. Okay, about 75% of the way down, if you look at the picture on the right, the one that's bordered in red, do you guys see that?
Yeah.
That's called the Ben Reisman shot. That's who it's been credited to, okay? So he's supposedly this 9/11 videographer. Now, if you look at if you look at both images, which are both supposed to be from the same video, just a few frames apart, he takes a few steps forward on the top video, right? But now there's a tree in front of him on the left. And look at the video on the bottom.
Yeah.
Just look at it, guys. Use your own eyes. Look at the store with the gold lettering. Look at the store in front of it. Now, where's the goddamn tree? Where is it?
Dennis.
He hasn't moved out of view of it. Where's the tree? Did he get up and walk away? The traffic light looks a lot different too, doesn't it? I mean, it's a totally different traffic light. Now, if you're asking what it
looks pretty funky.
Sure it does. And if you're asking what this means, I'm just going to tell you right out what it means. the sceneries that they showed us, it was a prefabricated Hollywood movie. I'm not going to go 100% because I don't want to do that, because I want to leave room open for speculation and for, you know, for whatever. But I, you know, so much of this video is fake. I don't know how much of it I can believe. If I see a couple street interviews, maybe from Northern Manhattan outside the impact zone, maybe I'll believe some of those are real. But this is all bullshit. I mean, just look at these two images. How can you look at these two Ben Reisman images and say that there's not something funny going on here? I mean, that is an artifact of computer-generated graphics. There's objects that were in the picture, and now they're not there. A tree like that doesn't disappear. Even on 9/11, guys, when all these other crazy things happen for the first time in the world, a tree does not just disappear, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't. And then if you look at the picture to the left, okay, you got the, is it the Hudson River? Is that the river that we're looking at?
Yeah, I believe so. Hold on.
Well, I don't know New York that well, but anyways, you got this river that is right across from whatever's going on at the World Trade Center. And you can tell the sun is directly above the river. It's got the whole river lit up. It's got the warehouse lit up across the street. But yet everything's dark and gloomy in New York. It's because it's two different images pasted together. And this happens over and over and over and over again. Scroll down a little bit more, guys. Just to show you some more. Just scroll down one more picture. Not the jackpot one. We'll get back to that. That's a little ridiculous. Go right underneath the jackpot one. And these are the two images from the Norde film. The first picture is 6 seconds after the impact plane, okay? And I have verified this myself. 6 seconds after the impact of the plane. And look it. You see there is no hole in the building. At least unless it's under the explosion, right? And then if you look 20 seconds after, you got this roadrunner cut out through the building. Now, if the plane crashed through the building, how does it take 20 seconds to make a hole? You know? No, seriously. I want an answer. Can anybody give me any logical answer?
Well, it can't. And it also... going back to the jumpers briefly, it extends to them as well. These videos, are not just the still images, the videos of the jumpers are fake as well. And the ultimate proof we have is that some of the people are like 50 feet up from the building.
Oh,
yeah. I want an answer on that one. I mean, they, even if you're the world long jump champion, you're only going to get, what, 10 feet out? It wasn't a windy day.
Oh, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, and the window frames are so narrow, like, why would you get a running jump anyway?
Yeah.
If people jumped out of the building, they would be right next to the building. They would be right next to it, and they'd fall the whole way down. They wouldn't be 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet out.
No, and I don't know if you saw it. I posted a little collage of jumpers. For some reason, it won't blow up. If you scroll back up, you can see it. I'll try and repost it so everybody can see it better. But I did post a collage of the jumpers.
Yeah.
And
well, all people have to do is just go to Google Images or whatever and just type in WCC jumpers. I mean, these images are not hard to find.
Yeah, or just if you guys want, right, go to that image that we showed you with the lady holding the baby out the window, or at least that's what it looks like. Look at the picture I put right underneath it. For some reason, it's not letting me enlarge it right now. You've got jumpers that are like 80 feet away from the towers. You've got other ones that are holding hands with their feet on fire. You've got other ones that are just falling like these lifeless, like this, like they're not flailing their arms or anything, like the falling man one. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I understand that, I guess, if you jump out a building and you jump a few feet out, maybe it'll carry you out a little bit. It's not going to carry you out 70 feet. you're pretty much going to go down the side of the building.
No one's going to jump anyway. You would just fall, you know. The absurd thing is that, you know, people would be, you would be in the stairway trying to get out. You would die in the stairway smoking.
That's what I said, yes.
Why would you even bother breaking a window? And the main point is that most of the jumpers happen within the first few minutes, the first 5-10 minutes, before the second plane strikes.
Supposedly the stairways are blocked off or whatever, and that's the reasons why these people were so trapped is the narrative, though. I mean,
But they wouldn't necessarily know that. You know, they would be looking through the different stairways for a way out within the first few minutes. It would take like a few minutes to break a window, even if they could. And, you know, like you would be in the stairway trying to get out. Or
I would try to run through a fiery stairway before I jump out that tower. Now, maybe if it was 20 floors of fire, maybe not, but 5 or 10 floors of fire, I'm trying to run through that before I'm jumping out the tower. Maybe that's just me.
We'll try to go up to the roof. You know, and as I said to you, you know, it's the fact that they just pile out within the first few minutes, you know, it's just totally unrealistic. You know, even if you were going to jump, like, you would mull over it. You know, you would chicken out of it, you know, like, it would take you a lot, even if you're suicidal, even if you go there with the intention of doing that, it would take a long time to actually gee yourself up to do it. No one's going to be doing it within, like, a minute.
It would. Justin, did you have a song for me in the break there already, or was that the last time?
That was the last one.
Could you send me one more when you get a chance? And I'm gonna.
Yep.
We're gonna take another one in a few minutes, and we're gonna get into a few more things. What I want to play soon is, I want to play a clip of, and you've all heard it. This is the official Fox clip that put the official narrative in everybody's mind, and just listen to how rehearse this is. This Mark Humphreys, Mark Walsh, whoever the hell he is, the Holly guy, we'll just call him because I don't want to get the name wrong because I know there's some controversy over that, and I'm not trying to say he's the same guy. He's just some Fox affiliate. Now, you got a situation here where in the history of the world, no steel frame building has ever collapsed from a fire. Ever. And you know what? It still never happened because it didn't happen that day either because it doesn't happen, okay? And you've got this guy on the street that they go, no, never will. It's built too strong. And it doesn't burn hot enough.
It's certainly not the whole building.
No.
You know.
No, maybe a little corner of it.
I mean, that's pretty sort of elementary level 9/11 argument, but yeah, you're right. Still,
yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It is. So, you know what? We're not even going to take a break right now. Instead of taking a break, we're just going to play this little 3-minute clip so you can hear. And this works. This is the psyop that works on people. You don't understand. We're going to look at this right now and be like, this is complete bullshit. How could anybody buy Rick Leventhal talking to this guy on Fox talking about, I saw the plane hit, reamed through the building, and then I saw the buildings fall.
I just got to call back in briefly, so I'll do that while you're playing that video. I'll be a few minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to call back in. Yeah,
go ahead. If you hear a slight echo when you come in, it's just because the video is playing. There's nothing I can do. Justin, you here?
Yeah, I'm with you, Brian.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm going to do real quick, guys, is this is basically the official narrative that they tried to put on the street. They put Rick Leventhal as one of their main thugs on the street, on the, you know, getting their official story out. And he interviews this guy, this Harley guy, this guy with the Harley Davidson shirt on, who ends up being another Fox affiliate, just like everybody they reported on, pretty much. And, you know, never in the history of the world has a building come down from fire. Yet this guy is on the street telling you how it just happened twice, and the reason that it happened is due to structural failure from the jet fuel melting the building. It's like the most rehearsed thing that you have ever heard in your entire life.
Right. And this just shows that that there was actors out there, or you know, they had people set to tell the narrative, and then what, you know, once you see this, you come to find out that all these interviews were all actors, they're all planned.
All of them. The whole, I don't want to say the whole goddamn truth movement, because there are good people out there, but I mean, basically the truth movement was set up to be the disinformation movement of 9/11. Okay. That's what the truth movement is all about. Guys, we are going to get into some exciting stuff. I don't want you to think we're going to go down the same 9/11 roads all night. Right after this, we're going to get into some of the simulated victims. And I got some really good pictures to show some of you guys that are really convincing. But right now, let's just play this clip real quick so you guys can hear it. And this is the BS they feed us. And this is why people believe it. They see stuff like this on Fox News. They hear idiots like this talk. And then they believe him. They think that this guy is, like, legit. And this guy is just totally touting the party line, you know? Listen to this.
Humbling down.
Nonsense.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie. But you watched.
If I had a dollar for every time they said it looked like a movie.
It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
Two guys from the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th truck, those guys were all right there at ground zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there. Hopefully they made it out.
What was happening around you and the streets around you as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint up 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back. And then several minutes after, it looked like it had just snowed over the entire area.
Yeah, the debris, the soot was thick on the street. There's still a dusting of it out here. But when I was standing here and the towers collapsed, we saw police officers running for their lives, screaming, "Get back, get back, get back." And I'll tell you, that's a wake-up call when you see cops running for their lives. And people, too, women pushing baby carriages, that sort of thing.
Well, you had the first tower first. That one, when that first went down, it just pushed everybody back. And it was a good 15 minutes before the second tower finally collapsed.
Yeah.
And it was just overwhelming. And by that point, it was just insane.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of similar stories from people who were inside the building. One gentleman we spoke to earlier today, John, was on the 77th floor and said it was a relatively orderly evacuation at that point after the first plane hit the first tower. Everyone going down the stairs, not a lot of panic. But when they got to the 6th floor, he says they felt a second shake. And then people started to really be concerned. Obviously, there were people in the building at the time of this, and some of those people, they haven't recovered them yet, and that's a big issue right now, is trying to get the rescue workers and the emergency crews to the building. There were police officers there and emergency crews there when this was all happening, and they were right at ground zero when it all went down. So can we talk to you? What's your role out here right now?
I'm just standing by right now. Can't say what role I'm playing right now.
Well, there's a lot of standing by. There's also concern that some of these other buildings might actually come down. This building right here with the glass that you see, this the nearest tall building, that has structural damage as well. We saw a lot of glass broken out, and a corner of the building appeared to be in distress. And there's concern that there might actually be another collapse of that building.
Wow.
Sorry, I was muted for a second. You guys with me?
Yeah, we're with you, Brian. Yeah.
I mean, how rehearsed is that? Does it get any more rehearsed than that?
No, that guy went like he was reading, like Obama reading off a prompter. You know, it was just like, you know, he had a whole spiel ready. And to me, you know, it's really insulting to someone's intelligence for him to say, you know, because at that point, you don't know if there was explosives. You don't know, what, you know, how deep these supposed terrorists ran. If they're, you know what I mean? For him to come out with that spiel, it's one of the biggest jokes, you know, to our intelligence. I really can't believe that.
And when, and Justin, he came out with it within like 45 minutes of the fucking thing happening.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, but you know, I get pissed off at some of the stuff. Before we do anything else, I want to get something, you know, something big out there, and just because we've mentioned a few times already that, you know, a lot of the victims of the World Trade Center are fake, and I know a lot of people are probably having a problem with that right now, and we haven't really gotten into it too much right now, so. I want to just give you a little look into what I'm talking about. If you guys will just scroll down just a little bit from the video we just watched, okay? There's a paragraph right under him. Then there's some blue text. And you'll see a picture of two firemen. Or what appear to be two firemen. Tell me when you guys are there.